gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. One of our very personal favorites, the Reverend Jim Wallace, author of God's Politics, on the Celebrity Hotline today, along with actor, author, activist Mike Farrell of MASH fame and activist fame. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check us out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice D.D. Jim Ward, to me, Stephanie Miller. Like many people did about Mama on the Larry King last night. Mama on the Larry King Live last night. Guess what Larry asked me last
what?
Night? He said, so, you want a guest host sometime? I said, yes, please.
Computer wow. says yes.
Mm-hmm. He said, you have to be fair, you know. He said, I'll be fair to the right-wing idiots. What?
You weren't fair to that one right-wing idiot last night.
he was a right-wing idiot.
What?
Although he asked to come on the radio show, and I said, I'd be happy to have you on the radio show to mock you as well.
And
what was his
the,
name?
Right-wing idiot?
I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
Republican strategist guy.
How's that working out, that Republican strategy?
Well, that gives
How's
me
that
a,
going?
That gives me a lot to work go on for the booking.
I'll remember. It'll come dart, to me. It, you know, these shows are during my cocktail hour. I don't remember. Yeah. It's mostly a blackout. Larry, I'd be happy to sacrifice all my principles to be on television by all means. I will change my political views at the drop of a hat if I need to. All
what,
right.
What was with your hair last night?
What? What happened to my hair? Why must you say things to make me insecure?
What? No, it was different.
It was poofy, wasn't it? I told her she overpoofed.
It was interesting.
Hmm. I'll have to. Is it up on StephanieMiller.com?
Not yet, no.
Oh, okay. I'll have to go check it out at some point.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you look great this morning.
Why, thank you. Okay. Sometimes they try to give you that anchor hair, and that's just...
Computer says no. Hmm.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago they tried to do that to Laura Ingraham when she was guest hosting O'Reilly. Ooh,
yeah.
Talk about bubble-headed bleach blonde.
You are not nice to our friend Laura Ingraham.
Well, right, she's not nice to us.
All right, she's nice to me personally when we see her.
Two-faced.
All right, stop. stop it. All right, Mama on the Yeller King list.
I don't think the president wanted to inherit all these problems. I don't think he wanted to have to do as much stuff as he's doing. I don't think he wants to run GM. I don't think he wanted to have to spend this kind of money. I think that's what was required. But this trip, I don't see how it could be any better unless the Queen French kissed him and Gordon Brown did a back handspring. They were thrilled to see him, thrilled.
And what does he have? What's the gravitas?
You know, I don't know. All I know is Gordon Brown is there going, Barack's absolutely right. Isn't he great? He was beaming at him. It was like a Nancy Reagan sort of smile.
So is it personality over over quantity?
Yes, but I mean, I also think, Larry, you know, it's like the American people. What is it, 80-90% think that we're proud to have them represent us around the world, and the rest of the world feels the same way. We're repairing our image in the world.
Yeah, hello. Oh, my God, it was all like hot girl-on-girl action between the Queen and Michelle Obama. It was, come on.
There was
some mutual groping.
About in, tinsel talk.
Yes. All right. Let's see. Meanwhile, speaking of Mama on the TV. Oh, Mama will be on the TV again on Sunday because Mama is a media whore.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. You're going to be on the Kurtz.
I'm going to be on the Kurtz. I'm going to be on CNN's Reliable Sources this Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. Okay. Bill in Paso Robles, and once again, back to...
Stephanie Miller.
On the TV. Yes, Jim, thank you. Bill in Paso Robles, right, Steph. I was reading the comments on the Ed Schultz story, Ed getting his own show on MSNBC, yay. When does it start, by the way?
Monday, I believe.
Yeah. I was reading the comments on the Ed Schultz story in the Huffington Post. People were tossing out a million ideas about what a new MSNBC lineup should look like. I couldn't help but notice one whole thread which concluded that...
Stephanie Miller.
...would be the perfect replacement for Morning Joe.
Yeah.
Why? What a brilliant thread. Brilliant idea.
Would we have?
How would that work exactly? If one
See, Jim always
that?
Makes it about him and about how the logistics are going to work for him. That's what it's...
No, I'm just saying.
Would we have to have that Willie Geist guy?
Willie Geist.
Who's that?
Oh, he's that little sidekick guy that sits on the set with them. He used to be Tucker's producer.
What did I just say? What? Yes, you throw away all your principles to be on TV. Absolutely. We'll take whoever that is.
Whatever.
Sure. We've always wanted another sidekick.
Okay. You're looking at me like you're going to get rid of me, aren't you?
I'm looking around. Who's dead weight on this ship?
Yeah, we were snapping at each other this morning.
We were. I apologize.
No, I know. I apologize to you.
I had a bowl of bitchy this morning once again, and I apologize.
Shut up.
Screw you, Jim.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation instant bitch?
All right. Actually, we're kind of clubby in here, as you know. We only recently started letting people actually in the studio.
Yes.
People, would we be like, no, you can't come in the fort. We pulled the ladder up. No one else is allowed in here. All right. Let's see. Julie in Seattle with some Glenn Beck fun facts. Oh, that's what I'll be talking about Sunday on the Kurtz. The Glenn Beck phenomenon.
It's a phenomenon?
He has the he's got the ratings. I'm telling you, crazy is entertaining. I need to get crazier.
Michael Savage has ratings.
Ask Jim. I couldn't be crazier. I just need to let more of it out on the air.
I think you do. Yeah. Let's just say you're idiosyncratic.
Why, thank you. Julie writes, Steph, another Glenn Beck fun fact. His wife made him join a mutually agreeable religion before she would wed his crazy ass because of his checkered, slovenly, drunken, drug-addled past.
Really?
He chose to don the magic underpants.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. I doubt the embracing the fable of the golden tablets will contribute to grounding this moron in reality. And she has attached the New York Times story entitled, Fox News Mad Apocalyptic Tearful Rising Star. There's no crying. Why is there so much crying?
No crying in political commentary?
There's no crying in baseball!
No. Or in television. Let's see. Well, these are the fun facts from the New York Times. Mr. Beck, who recently rewatched the 1976 film Network, said he identified with the character of Howard Beale, the unhinged TV anchorman who...
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell... I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Although it'll be hard to hear Glenn Beck because he lives on a giant estate, of course, in the...
Yes, with a huge wall
with a giant wall around it, so it would actually be hard for any common man to actually hear him.
Yeah, he's a man of the
people. Yell about the flight of the...
He's a man of the rich people. Mm-hmm. They're people, too.
The other beleaguered people in New Canaan, Connecticut.
Yeah.
He preaches against politicians, hosts regular segments titled Constitution Under Attack and Economic Apocalypse, and occasionally breaks into tears. In the series called...
What a wuss.
Yeah, really. Hello.
I don't think you've ever cried on this. Well...
I have cried.
You have cried,
well,
but not...
We cry for good reason. It was when my dog died.
Yes.
So that's, you know, the universal.
And plus you're a chick.
I'm a chick. For a while, I was that chick that cries on the radio.
Yes.
In a series called The War Room last month, he talked to experts about the possibility of global financial panic and widespread outbreaks of violence. Oh, nice. Okay. He challenged viewers to think the unthinkable so they would be prepared in case of emergency.
Jeez.
He wants them to cause the emergency?
Apparently.
Kind of
sounds like lunatic fear-mongering to me. He says America is on the road to socialism and that God and religion are under attack in the U.S., blah, blah. He recently wondered aloud. Here's the kind of journalism that Fox News is currently practicing. He wondered aloud whether FEMA was setting up concentration camps, calling it a rumor he was unable to debunk.
Well, they have been. But I doubt that Obama will make use of them.
His roots are... Here's my favorite fun fact, since this is Mama's background. His roots are in comedy. He spent years as a morning radio disc jockey.
And he's still...
Yes.
Ever modeling?
He spent some time in Phoenix where he did a morning show with Jessica Hahn.
Really?
Oh, no.
Yes, he did. it was when I was in college.
Oh,
I remember listening to him.
But did he have a slide whistle?
See, that's what, you know what, and the listeners can help Mom out here. I need to craft a new persona. Because remember, Ann Coulter used to be on when I hosted Equal Time on CNBC, and she was not that crazy.
No, she wasn't.
She was just one of many blonde Republican pundits. She just figured out. Same thing I just said. She was at home one day and said, I need to get a lot crazier. If I want to get on TV more, I got to get a lot.
Take some crazy pills.
So Glenn Beck was there with his slide whistle, like I was, for years in morning radio, and he said, wait a minute.
There's money in crazy.
He was doing wacky morning show, like April Fool's Day stunts, too. Oh, God, yeah, it was total morning radio.
God, all right. It's the Glenn Beck.
Could he use those call soundboards? Hello, I'm Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hey,
oh, God, yeah, we all
did. Maybe I should launch my new persona Sunday on Howard Kurtz's Reliable Sources. Maybe I'll just start screaming incoherently about Glenn Beck when he asks me. Huh?
There you go.
Huh?
There you go.
And I'll cry.
Cry.
Okay.
We'll be on 600 stations in no time.
Exactly. That's my point. All right. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story, the headline, Obama's style is anti-Bush in Europe.
Oh. Yes.
God. President Obama said Wednesday he was not in London to lecture, but to listen. What? Huh? What?
In fact, as we speak, he's conducting a town hall in France, and people are actually listening to him and not throwing things at him.
Wow.
So that's a plus.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Once again, our hearts go out to the people in the effigy business who have suffered the biggest economic downturn since the departure of George Bush.
I believe he's
best
in
of luck.
Strasbourg.
Okay. He was not in London to lecture to listen. His busy schedule surrounding the group of 20 summit of world leaders offered a glimpse into the new president's diplomatic style and goals. His style is stark change from that of his predecessor, George W. Bush. I came here to put forward our ideas, but I also came here to listen and not to lecture, said Obama.
Oh.
Yesterday, his meeting with Gordon Brown. Who do we have?
We have Barack Obama.
Barack Obama.
The president.
I have staked out my position as president that I will not be following in the footsteps of my predecessor when it comes to diplomacy. There will certainly be whatever ass-kicking is needed, but with glove leather loafers instead of ostrich-skinned cowboy boots. I am quite secure about the size of my package, so therefore the United States will be much more circumspect in how it projects its power throughout the world. I won't be asking any of my fellow heads of state at the dining table if they're going to eat that. Just isn't my snap. Turns out there's been a deep hunger for just plain diplomatic folks around the world, as I'm finding out to my chagrin. Should have figured out something was up when Chancellor Merkel not only insisted that I give her a neck rub, but before he could say knockwurst, she had shimmied out of her formal gown and was looking at me like she was a squirrel and I was a sack of nuts. Didn't stop there. Next thing I knew, Sarkozy is offering me a session with Carla Bruni, hoping that I can be Escoffier in bed and stir the pot until it's done. Whatever that means. Even Gordon Brown can't keep his ham-like hands to himself when we meet. He's telling me all about his haggis. But the big surprise was Jóhanna Sigurðardóttir, Iceland's lesbian prime minister.
Yes.
I knew Iceland was volcanic, but what a fumarole. You know, looking around, I see that the Queen and Michelle are thick as thieves. Hey, is the Queen have her hand up Michelle's skirt? We'll have to have a summit about that.
Yes.
In the meantime, it's Iceland, Iceland, uber alles. At least until something erupts. Hey, Bobby Jindal, monitor this. This American at least can do anything. And I will.
It's International Girls Gone Wild.
Yes.
On this trip.
And we'll find out what happened with the Queen next hour in Tinsel Talk. Won't we?
Yes.
Pluggy,
right.
Pluggy, pluggy.
That's right.
Okay. And finally, fast food giant McDonald's is demanding a Swedish strip club get rid of a sign that the hamburger chain claims comes too close to its golden arches. McDonald's spokesman said the sign from McDragon's Drive.
Oh, no.
McDragon's Drive. It's a strip club in Sweden. It's a large M with nipples that resembles the famous McDonald's sign. The strip bar's owner. Yeah, it's a McDonald's if it had.
Yeah.
The strip bar's owner, Dragon Breckvik, said the sign has nothing to do with McDonald's. It's two breasts with nipples. Anybody can see that. Do we have that guy?
We have Klaas Eliasson, the guy representative for McDonald's in Sweden.
Oh, okay.
And Dragan Bratic.
Oh, good. Both of them, yeah.
Jan Pinjimini, we're going to sue your ass for this, you betcha. You can't use the golden arches to sell your smutty little strip club McDragons. Please, it's so obvious. Are you kidding me? Dragan is my name. And I am not Irish, as you can tell by my ridiculous accent. I am Yugoslav. The next stands for a motorcycle. I am liking motorcycles. It's not breach of trademark. Look, you, just because you put nipples on the arches doesn't mean you can get away with this. And what's with the clown outfit? It says Ronald McDragon right there under your lapel button. Who do you think you're kidding? I'm liking clowns and motorcycles and naked women. So sue me. Yeah, sure, you betcha, we will sue you. Just look at the names of some of your dancers. Agneta Filet-O-Fish. Big and tasty Annefried with cheese. Some of my customers are kinky. They are liking strippers covered in tartar sauce or dairy products. And this similarity is completely coincidental. Oh, yeah? Christina McGriddle. Explain that one. You explain. Bacon, sausage, egg, and cheese on a pancake? Eh? What is this?
I guess you yucked me there. You do deserve a break today.
I am loving it. Just for that, you get free lap dance. With cheese. Hey, they're all there. Yeah, sure, you betcha.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. Banner ad for Jim Ward on StephanieMiller.com.
Yeah, okay. Oh, boy. Jim Wallace gets to follow that.
21 minutes after the hour. Back with the President's Overseas Trip, the Reverend Jim Wallace, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Chris in Chicago on Mama's new TV shtick. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Mama. I thought that it would be a great way to wake up with that cup of coffee and watch the Stephanie Crazy Bitch Miller Show.
Change my middle name to Crazy Bitch. All right.
You know, it's got a ring. It's bringing that persona from the successful radio show right into your TV career.
There you go. All right, honey. Just in case people miss the point, we should just call it the Crazy Bitch Show. Okay, Cindy in Michigan on Speaking of Crazy, Glenn Beck. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I think you should always put Glenn Beck together with the Britney Spears crying fan guy.
Oh.
Because that's the kind of crying he was doing. It was just, he was bawling. The only thing he had that he was missing was the lipstick.
I don't believe I've actually watched more than 10 seconds of the new Glenn Beck program. What was he crying about?
Don't make the mistake. I didn't sit and watch. I just saw a clip of him just bawling about how the country is going in the wrong direction. Mm.
You know, he hasn't been the same, in my opinion, Cindy, since his botched ass surgery. Do you know what I'm saying?
I didn't hear about that.
Yes.
Maybe he's on something that makes him a little more sensitive.
Could be it.
You know, he's trying for the sensitive man syndrome or something. It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'd love to see you in the morning. A cup
Thank
of
you.
Steph, I'd love it.
Thank you, honey. All right. Yeah, what happened? I can't remember what happened, but he that's when he first started weeping on the Internet, didn't he, when he was recovering from the botched ass surgery?
Yes, he had a hemorrhoid surgery that went awry.
Yes.
Yes, and so it was botched ass surgery, and that's when he started crying.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he had a flood of estrogen then.
Maybe that's what that is.
Okay.
Okay. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller. Maybe they took out an ovary by mistake.
Hey, yeah, it could happen.
Oh, Glenn Beck is the hemorrhoid. Anyway, I have a question for Jim and for you. First, Jim, did you go to the Meryl Streep School of Accents? The Meryl Streep, you know. You can hop from Yugoslavian to Swedish and nothing flat. I mean, I was just stunned. I almost went off the road as I'm talking.
Yes, he did until the dingo stole his baby.
That was the point of the bit.
Yes, thank you.
Dingo stole my baby.
28 minutes after the hour. Back with the Reverend Jim Wallace next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Miller.
Good morning, and yes, you've won a fabulous 8-hour day chained to this machine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, if you watch the American president, wildly popular overseas, it's a new day, isn't it?
New day.
And, I don't know what's going on, but Jim, the religious conversation in this country has started talking about helping poor people.
What?
Yeah, President Obama, stuff that Jesus never talked about.
What a socialist.
Why, exactly. If only there was somebody that knew. Yes, why, who is it, Chris?
It's the president of Sojourners, Reverend Jim Wallace.
That's the guy that would know. Good morning, Reverend.
How's my favorite radio rock star?
How's my very favorite reverend? The author
good to
of
hear your voice.
Good to hear you too. The author of God's Politics, one of our very very favorites, Reverend Wallace. I think that I've heard this so many times that people are so relieved that they feel like they've gotten religion back in this country in a way. They've reclaimed, you know, from the religious right, the conversation about religion. Tell us what you got. What you're working on with the president?
Well, you know, Jesus finally got through.
Yes. And Jesus has stopped throwing up, in my opinion.
And even in this budget, I went to Capitol Hill 2 years ago about a budget. It was a different budget, and we went to pray on the steps of the Capitol building against the budget, and we got arrested for the budget. This time I went to praise a budget, and that was it was a lot warmer inside than being so cold in the outside. And there are things in this budget that I've been arrested for, Stephanie, in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, this budget prioritizes, you know, health care and energy and education. And really, it prioritizes low-income families and vulnerable people. And so in that past, of course, but now the work is ahead, you know, because all these things have to be appropriated. But this budget, which I think was, I coined the phrase a couple of years ago, a budget is a moral document.
Yes.
And this budget really is. I mean, no budget is perfect. It's a budget, right?
Yep.
But I think this really starts us in the right direction and begins to reverse the social inequality. The last 30 years was socially engineered. I mean, they really had policies that made rich people richer and poor people poorer. And this budget begins to reverse that, turn it around. I think it's a budget Jesus might have liked, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, what you've been doing certainly is what a lot of people have been so hungry for, and that's expanding the conversation on moral values in this country and on religion from just two issues, abortion and gay rights, you know, to a lot of things that Jesus actually talked about. So I couldn't be happier about this because I think that, you know, the Republicans put forth this budget, Reverend Wallace, I don't know if you saw it, but it literally is the same policies that got us where we are. It's more tax cuts for the rich. It's the exact same thing that got us here.
Yeah, it's like we're in this great economic recession. Let's do the things that made it happen and even do them bigger than before. It's really smart, you know. I mean, it's like when you're in a hole, keep digging is what their budget suggests.
Right.
But, you know, what's true is that you know wealth did not trickle down, but bad behavior has, you know. So we've been spending money that we don't have, and people that are struggling day to day are in serious trouble. And you know, what the Bible does say is that a society is judged not by its gross national product, by its military firepower, or even how much its popular culture is admired all over the world. It's judged by how we treat the most vulnerable among us. That's the test. That's the biblical test. So if that's the test, we have been failing for a long time. And so now we're trying to, you know, make some difference here. But, you know, as I say, this is only a budget resolution. It isn't binding. It sets a framework. And we're going to be having, if I can just say, a mobilization to end poverty. The president's going to speak to us, I think, at the end of April, April 26, 27, 28, 29, D.C., and we're going to have already 1,000 people have signed up to come, and we're really inviting people to show up and go to a prayer vigil at the Congress for poor people. Let's not cut the poor out of the budget to balance the budget. That's happened too often. Let's invest in the things that are going to make a difference long term.
So a new coalition is being launched this Wednesday that's responding to the economic crisis and its the effects of pushing millions more Americans into poverty. Representative Clyburn is on this. You're on this. Tell us what that's going to do.
Well, there's a large coalition forming that's trying to really prioritize protecting the priorities of the president in this budget: education, healthcare, energy, and low-income folks. And then we have 30 organizations: Oxfam, One Campaign, World Vision, who are coming to D.C. the end of April to actually go to the Congress and sit down with our representatives and say, "Hey, let's make sure this budget doesn't get cut back by all this." But you know, Stephanie, saying there are special interests here. I know that'll be shocking, but there's special interests here who won't want a good budget to happen because they're invested in the old bad budgets. And so how do we turn this around? And this coalition, I think, is very populist. It's lots of people and groups. I think this could be, as your song said, the beginning of a new day, but that's going to take a lot of work from all of us.
Well, I'm reading the numbers that, you know, this recession threatens to push 10 million more Americans into poverty. The World Bank estimates 52 more million more people have already fallen into poverty due to the global economic. So these are really unprecedented times. I mean, like you say, the worst off among us are really in bad shape.
Well, that's 10 million more people in this country on top of all those who are already poor. One out of six kids was already poor. 10 million more people now. And globally, you've got, 3 billion people in the world living on $2 a day. And 52 million more are going to be in poverty. So we've got to pull together and really learn from this crisis. I mean, the question they ask is, when will it end? That's the wrong question. The question is, what will this crisis teach us? How will it change us? How will it make us make decisions differently and revise our priorities? And so I think if we can learn the right lessons from all this, then all this pain might be redemptive after all. If it turns us in a new direction, I think that's the powerful thing here.
Reverend Wallace, you know, people might not know from the fact that Sean Hannity screams at you like you're some left-wing lunatic, that you actually, I believe on the, you are obviously pro-life, right? And I don't know your position on gay marriage, but I mean, I think people misconstrue. If you read God's Politics, and you really should, because what's the subtitle of it?
Why the Right Gets It Wrong and the Left Doesn't Get It.
So you are not really, in my opinion, of one, ideology. You certainly agree with us on some issues and not on others, correct?
Well, and I think we've got to find some common ground, because I was talking to some pro-choice and pro-life. Those are symbolic positions. We've been yelling back and forth. I think we can find some common ground about reducing the number of abortions in this country.
Right.
Without criminalizing a desperate choice, we can really reduce abortions now. So let's not just keep fighting back and forth. And you can be I'm a Little League baseball coach. I'm a strong family marriage guy. But you can be for family, and as I am very supportive of gay civil rights at the same time. I mean, these are not positions that should polarize us the way they have for so long. There's real common ground. You don't blame the failings of heterosexual marriage on gay and lesbian people. That's kind of stupid. So how do we find a way forward here? And so I think it's time to stop screaming and fighting, and left right. I talk about the moral center, not a mushy middle or a soulless centrism, but a new moral center where people on all sides they all can find what's right and what works is the answer.
Speaking of relics of the old moral values, family values argument, I have to get your reaction to Newt Gingrich, who, I guess we all know he's on his third marriage and was in the middle of an adulterous affair himself when he was trying to get Bill Clinton impeached. Did you hear him recently saying he was disagreed with Notre Dame's decision to invite President Obama because of his pro-choice stance? What was your take on that?
Well, Newt has become a real paragon of moral virtue. Hypocrisy, remember, is the worst sin in the Bible. When you say one thing and do another, that's the worst of all sins. And Newt has been a pretty consistent sinner on that for a long time. But, here's Notre Dame has invited presidents historically as part of their tradition. And those presidents agree and disagree with Catholic social teaching. And that's okay. This is a good chance for some dialogue here. Mm-hmm. And on the abortion question, the president has made abortion reduction one of the priorities of his new council. He is a faith advisory council that I get to sit on. And poverty reduction, abortion reduction, fatherhood, and interfaith dialogue are all priorities. So why not invite the president, which they've done, and have a dialogue, have a conversation. He's good at that.
Yep.
That's no problem. I've known him for 10 years. He's good at that.
It seems to me you fit perfectly with the president's real theme of inclusiveness. And may I just say, I know this is unseemly in matters of faith, but I campaign shamelessly for you to give the invocation rather than that Rick Warren. However, I'm glad that the president's getting you involved, because you are, in fact, doing the Lord's work.
Well, we want people to do the Lord's work with us. So I'm going to give you that website for that mobilization. It's just www.sojo.net mobilization. Sojo.net mobilization. It really is an effort to actually make this budget mean something for poor people. So please come. You get to hear the president speak. You get to go to the Capitol and pray in whatever spiritual language makes sense to you, and talk to your members of Congress. And it'll be fun. We're going to have a great time end of April, 26, 27, 28, 29. So go to the website, check it out, and come do the Lord's work in Washington. How about that?
We will do that. Now, I know it's not quite as big an honor as the inauguration invocation, but you are the official reverend of the Stephanie Miller Show, Reverend Wells.
Well, I'll tell you. Top honors there. Reverend Rabbi
I'd leave,
Imam.
I'd leave that off the resume. But anyway, Reverend Jim Wallace, thank you so much, sir.
It's great talking to you.
You too.
Always, Stephanie.
You too. Talk to you soon.
Yay. Oh. And there's a link to sojo.net in the live blog of stephaniemiller.com, right there, front and center of the front page.
Jesus might have liked the fart jokes. One doesn't know. 44.
I have a feeling he had a sense of humor.
44 minutes after the hour. Back with the president's overseas trip and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. Is it me? The president is having a fairly triumphant overseas trip, isn't he?
They even love him in France, and that's saying something.
I mean, what? And Michelle Obama, even more of a rock star, for God's sakes. International girls gone wild with the Queen is all I'm saying. That was very touching, wasn't it?
I think there was some third base action.
Literally.
There.
You think so? Exactly.
Yes.
The Queen was playing a little bit of grab ass. She is quite the skank biscuit, as has been reported previously on the Stephanie Miller newscast.
And as will be reported next hour in Tinsel Talk.
Boy, have we teased that enough?
Yeah.
Better, because I got nothing else.
Can I have some fine American music? Taking the global stage, Obama seems everywhere. He talked nuclear threats with Russia's president, gave an iPod to the Queen. That was only the beginning. In the first day on the world stage for Barack Obama, launching new arms control talks, placing China's ties on fresh footing, and calming fears about the ailing U.S. economy, seemingly everywhere relaxed and smiling all the while. Oh, I answered two or three emails. I have to take a nap. This guy.
He's doing too much.
He's making stuff. He's making Eric Cantor nervous and his Adam's apple shrub. His wife, Barack Obama, while she attracted breathless attention with every stop, fashionable outfit, and sip of tea, school children ran alongside his nearly 20-vehicle motorcade. This is all we're only used to the booing from when our president goes overseas.
It was like he was Madonna visiting Malawi. His school children running after him.
Oh, going crazy.
Yes.
He was asked to give a pep talk to England's soccer team for its World Cup qualifying match and to offer campaign tips to embattled British Prime Minister Gordon Brown. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Super Prez is the next headline. Look out, folks, he's Super Prez. As a teen in Honolulu, Barry Obama was a big fan of comic book heroes, particularly by his own account, Spider-Man and Conan the Barbarian. Now, 3 decades later, he's all grown up and playing a political superhero. Obama's reshaping corporate boardrooms. He's firing CEOs he has pushed so far with ease. Unprecedented spending plans through Congress. He'll ultimately do the same. Just watch with his colossal budget. He's creating new White House czars left and right, expanding the direct administrative power of his presidency. He's engineering fundamental shifts in philosophy on everything from pollution to health care to the funding of education. And he seems to be doing all of this virtually on his own, as if floating on air. Other than Franklin Roosevelt during World War II, no president in modern history has claimed or gotten more power and visibility. And so far, he's popularity rating. No sign of Obama fatigue, according to the polls. No one has gotten more media coverage and attention in recent months than Barack Obama, but only a third of Americans say they're hearing too much about him. More than half, 54%, say they're hearing just about the right amount about Obama. All right, the president yesterday at the summit.
We finished a very productive summit. There will be, I believe, a turning point in our pursuit of global economic recovery. It was historic because of the size and the scope of the challenges that we face, and because of the timeliness and magnitude of our response.
Couldn't someone on his staff stopped into the chemists in London and gotten him a Claritin?
Exactly. That head cold is just not going away.
Jiminy Christmas.
I mean, you know, can you imagine one of the great speeches of our time, Jim? They all had head colds like that? This will go on record, for God's sakes.
We have nothing to fear but fear.
Exactly. Is what, like, when I record things, when I record commercials when I have a cold.
Yeah, you recorded this stamps.com about 2 weeks ago.
Well, it's like something in the box, won't you?
Yeah, and
dig out. Yeah. Okay. All right.
You sound like Glenn Beck did when he was doing wacky morning radio.
All right, the president yesterday.
I think the steps in the communique were necessary. Whether they're sufficient, we've got to wait and see. This group, once again, will respond as needed.
By the way, did I say Michelle Obama an even bigger rock star? Mm-hmm. Did you? Oh, can I have some touching music, please? Did you see her with the schoolgirls, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
You got
it. Was amazing.
You can't. I try to fake authenticity all the time on TV, but she's the real deal. With a high five for a young singer and a hug for as many schoolgirls as she could reach, First Lady Michelle Obama proved an inspirational presence to a group of teens in a London high school yesterday. The all-girl school, the First Lady delivered her first major address. When she got up to speak to the girls, who responded with, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Reception? With whoops and whistles. She said, I'm just very touched and moved by all of you. My husband, you know him? That's funny. Oh, you have her. She said he's going to be very jealous of my afternoon. We have Michelle Obama.
Although the circumstances of our lives may seem very distant, with me standing here as the First Lady of the United States of America and you just getting through school, I want you to know that we have very much in common. For nothing in my life's path would have predicted that I'd be standing here as the first African-American First Lady of the United States of America.
Yeah, see? Really now I'm crying like Glenn Beck. Yeah, yeah, it was really touching. Yeah, seriously, it was. She even choked up herself. Now I understand why Jack Cafferty dumped me for her. I concede.
The special relationship between the United States and the U.K. is based not only on the relationship between governments, but the common language and the values that we share. And I'm reminded of that by watching you all today. During my visit, I've been especially honored to meet some of Britain's most extraordinary women. Her Majesty the Queen, for example. I got to chat with her. The Prime Minister's wife, Sarah Brown, who is a phenomenal woman, who has been a charming and delightful host to these wonderful countries over the past several days.
Oh, dear God. Okay. And then she talked about her
I background. Wasn't raised with wealth or resources or any social standing to speak of. I was raised on the south side of Chicago. That's a real part of Chicago. And I was the product of a working class community. My father was a city worker all of his life, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and she stayed at home to take care of me and my older brother. Neither of them attended university. My dad was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in the prime of his life. But even as it got harder for him to walk and get dressed in the morning, I saw him struggle more and more. My father never complained about his struggle. He was grateful for what he had. He just woke up a little earlier and worked a little harder. And my brother and I were raised with all that you really need. Love, strong values, and a belief that with a good education and a whole lot of hard work, that there was nothing that we could not do. I am an example of what's possible when girls from the very beginning of their lives are loved and nurtured by the people around them.
Oh. Did you see the part where she said, you are precious and you touch my heart, and then her voice started cracking and she said again, you touch my heart? Oh, God. Michelle Obama. Wow. All right. 57 minutes after the hour. Back with Tinsel Talk and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Actor, author, activist Mike Farrell of MASH fame on the Celebrity Hotline next hour. All right. And if you miss the Reverend Jim Wallace, it will be up on StephanieMiller.com after the show. Our very fit, the official Reverend of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think he appreciates that title.
He seemed least he did not reject it. That was the main thing.
That's right.
As he probably should have. Okay, Mama was on the Larry King Live last night. As the media tour continues, I'll be on CNN's Howard Kurtz, the Reliable Sources, on the Sunday. I believe it'll actually be at 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, roundabouts this Sunday morning.
But if you're setting your TiVo, it's just Reliable Sources at 10 Eastern.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right, I was on last night with, James Carville and Penn Jillette, who is, I guess,
he's a libertarian.
Libertarian.
Yeah.
Okay.
American people are really, really behind the president. I don't like it. I think the president should have much less power. I mean, Obama is a continuation of Clinton.
He's got the same power Bush had.
But so he has more. He's grabbing even more power because, I mean, whether you say, like Stephanie did, that it was forced upon him, there's a lot more power. And I always get worried when a whole mass of people agree on anything. I'm very much for individuals, and I like more argument.
And we got to have, help around the world in the war on terror. I mean, I know after the Bush administration, it's kind of a low bar for an overseas trip. As long as, he didn't throw up on someone, chew with his mouth open, or give someone an unnecessary back rub, I guess we're happy. But I do think that his popularity around the world is really going to help us, I mean, he said something startling for an American president. He said, I'm going to listen. I'm here to listen and not just talk. And I think that's really important.
By the way, yeah, Penn Jillette was like, he just is every man for himself kind of libertarian, Jim.
Mm-hmm. And that's what a libertarian is.
Like, everyone just get your own health care.
Yeah.
Make your own
just
streets.
Just don't get sick.
Figure it out. Yeah, that's a little extra crispy bucket of libertarian.
Don't buy the whole sewer thing. Just don't poop. I don't ever go to the bathroom.
I see I don't agree with his point, but I see his point in that, dissent keeps people on their toes. And so, some argument back and forth is might be good for America. But
okay.
I see his point.
I was afraid he was going to make me disappear from my box because I think he could have done that if he wanted to. Magically. Okay.
Well, that's not the kind of magic he really does. He does, he would have shoved, a bandsaw through your box to cut you in half. Bloodily.
That doesn't sound fun.
No,
really
that's
doesn't.
But that's the kind of music magic that Penn and Teller do.
You know what? Would you like to know what Larry King and I talk about before, in the commercial breaks?
What?
You ever seen Penn and Teller live? Fabulous. He once stuck a knife in my hand. Larry King let them stick a knife in his hand.
Yeah.
He said, I saw it went through my hand. It was blood. It wasn't my blood. It didn't hurt. I don't know what happened. Must be because I take ecstasy. Yeah, I don't know what happened. He said they took him on stage and they put a knife through Larry's hand. And
there's a lot of blood in their magic act.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know that that would be the kind of magic that you would enjoy.
I was just shocked that Larry let him do that. Okay, go ahead. Penn and Teller, go ahead. All right. Meanwhile, the other big breaking news yesterday, of course, Rod Blagojevich, what, indicted? He seemed so innocent. What?
Breaking news out of Chicago this evening. A devastating indictment. Blagojevich indicted on 16 felony counts, along with indictments for his brother, former chief of staff, and businessmen. And Blagojevich himself, he is, and we kid you not, checked in at Disney World.
I will fight. I will fight. I will fight. I have done nothing wrong. His action today was, of course, not a surprise. It was a foregone conclusion.
Rob and Rob Blagojevich, you've just been indicted on 16 felony counts. What are you going to do now?
We're going to Disney World!
Thank you very much.
Oh, you can't write this stuff. He was at Disney World.
Yes, he was.
He was indicted. All right. Just in time for the weekend, the top sex mistakes women make.
Oh. Huh?
I just, you know, we're handing out tips here.
Now they tell us.
Some of these seem kind of evident. Number one, let's talk, darling. Insisting a lot more than guys on never-ending talks, they actually end up spoiling the moon for a steamy sex romp. Jim, how many times has this happened to you? Is someone, what you thinking?
Let's talk about the relationship.
Why are you being so distant?
In the middle of the act?
I don't know.
No.
Okay.
Just in general.
Okay. According to this study, are you sure of this position, the number two sex mistake that women make, bearing apprehensions about sex positions isn't a good idea, as most women end up revealing their anxiety about trying out newer positions? The flippers and the chandelier? Okay. All right.
That's it.
All right. Okay.
What about the Crisco?
And the number three top mistake women make during sex. I'm done. Now it's your turn.
Oh. That's funny.
I actually... I had a friend tell me recently. To me, these would be the top two things never to say to men during sex. When she first started having sex, she once said to a guy, "Are you done yet?" No. That's not
good. He says not.
And he said, no, actually.
When the guy is
and
done.
And then the top number one thing not to say, she also said it to one guy. She said, "Are you in yet?" Which you also.
That's a no-no.
No, that's.
Well, if you're the Octomom, that's a couple of years of that.
Okay.
On a regular basis.
In a completely...
Throwing a hot dog down a hallway.
In a completely unrelated story, Russian police detained Beaver for biting a woman.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Police in Russia have caught a...
What's the name of the town?
Shut up! Just let me stumble over this. Kaliningrad. Kaliningrad.
Okay.
Have caught a beaver. After the animal bit a woman in the center.
Ooh, a beaver with teeth.
Of the Russian city.
That's one of the big mistakes there.
That's a big one there. Yeah, you need to be defanged. Police said they received the call around 3 a.m. That's one of our rules.
Nothing good ever comes from phone calls after 3 a.m.
Yes, or drinking games with brown liquor. And I suspect both may have been involved here. They received a 3 a.m. Call saying that Beaver had attacked people. One woman tried to caress it. No, don't do that. Don't do that.
They'll definitely bite if you caress it.
And the Beaver bit her. It was carefully caught and taken out of the city, said a spokesman, adding the rodent was later released near a village. Ooh, there's beaver on the loose there in a Russian village. In April last year, a large beaver broke... Don't make an Octomom joke. Just leave that there. A beaver broke into a food store near, the city of Chelyabinsk.
Never let beaver near your food.
No. Smashing a shop window and several bottles of vodka.
Mm.
Oh, vodka and beaver do not go together. Trust me on that.
I'm not sure what that means.
This European beaver is very big. It can be 38 kilograms.
All right. Terry in Leesburg, Virginia on Larry King last night. Hi, Terry.
Oh, hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
But, you know, at the end there, you looked beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
At the end there, Larry started cracking a few jokes.
Larry was a scamp last night. I actually said that during the commercial break. I said, "Larry, you're a scamp tonight," and the whole the crew started cracking up. You're being scampy, Larry.
He was really making some funny.
Yeah, he was very funny last night.
I didn't watch until the end. What did he say?
He was on a roll. The Lair was
okay.
He was going all shecky on us.
Really?
All right, let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Let's go.
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Hollywood news you don't want to lose.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
Queens hardly Hollywood, but, you know, close enough.
All right. Now we know what postpartisanship really means. It's a way for Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to transition into whatever he wants to do next, probably a job in President Obama's cabinet, since he's now saying he won't run for any other elective office. A lot of speculation he was going to run against the matron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show, Barbara Boxer, who said recently, "I'm getting ready for him. I'm lifting weights. I'm already up to 8 pounds. You don't want to fight with Barbara Boxer. You don't. You don't want to fight with Barbara Boxer. You really don't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess he wants a fight. Everybody was awful fighting. Yeah. And if that's where we're going, that's where we're going. Don't get the fight, yeah. because we're going to have a fight.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, Arnie. By the way, even if he gets the nomination to run against Boxer, he only has a 38% approval rating in California polls, many saying he could not beat her. Which might explain some of his recent postpartisan preening. When Obama made his first trip to California, Schwarzenegger was there thanking him for the courageous leadership and the great commitment and the things of this nature. And for the money Obama's stimulus plan will bring to California. Later that day, Schwarzenegger was the first one to jump in and defend Obama when he made a reference to the Special Olympics. The next day, Schwarzenegger showed up at the White House with more sycophantic talk. Then he went on Meet the Press with still more. It all sounded like a job applicant rather than the leader of the loyal opposition party. We have some of the governor's thoughts on this.
As I said in the past, I would not run for elective office unless we change the Constitution so that the person not born in this country and these kinds of things can be president and things of this nature. Or the President Obama is rumored to have been born in the exotic foreign country called Hawaii. Ha! Speaking of which, I was pleased to find out that the President is a big fan of Conan the Librarian. I mean, the Barbarian. I think I will apply to be Obama's Secretary of... I will tell him what is best in life. It is not the open step, fleet horse, falcon at your wrist, and the wind in your hair. It is to crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of the women and these kinds of things. That pleases you, Barry. So grant me one request. Grant me revenge. And don't ask me what is the riddle of steel. Michael Steele with the Orioles and these kinds of things. He'd be the man and off the hook and things of this nature.
I have no idea where that
and things of this
going.
Nature.
Yes.
That's all right. And finally, British websites today are mostly shrugging off Michelle Obama's extraordinary, according to Sean Hannity, breach of protocol with Queen Elizabeth yesterday. Obama correctly curtsied, but then put her arm around the Queen, who returned the latter gesture and also copped a feel, in my opinion.
There was some third base action.
Yeah. Buckingham Palace says it's obvious it was a mutual sign of affection and appreciated between the Queen and Michelle Obama. There is no offense. The reception was an informal occasion. There is no breach of protocol. So says the Queen.
What is all this piffle about a breach of protocol? We know that our person is sacrosanct and inviolate, and that heads have rolled for smaller liberties than were taken by Michelle Obama while we were being photographed. Yet somehow outrage eludes us. We were basking in the alluring scent of our visitor, and we were transported, quite spontaneously, into the land of recall and nostalgia. You see, we've been in our time quite the collector of striking, freakishly tall African-American women with a lot on the balls, so to speak. We recall vividly such luminaries as Brick Top, Josephine Baker, Sarah Vaughan, and in a moment of weakness, Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh, no.
Oh,
really?
Oh, yes, the Sable Fillies are the best rides, and I have an elegant seat, if I do say so. Huh? Ourself. The one clinker in the lot was when we took a fancy to Naomi Campbell. She was exciting, but we must admit it doesn't half embarrass one to have the sass be summoned to one's bedchamber at 4 a.m. We had our SAS, that's the Secret Service. We had our fun, but you know, having one's crown bounced off one's noggin and then being told there was more where that came from. Still, we have high hopes from Michelle Obama. And low intentions. The kind from which we draw the most delightful amusement.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward.
Follow Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. Banner ad. Stephanie Miller website. StephanieMiller.com.
Thank you.
You know Naomi Campbell was at that dinner that Michelle Obama was
at. We're going to talk about that next.
Are we? How about that?
Look at that accidental tease.
Wow.
From our show with absolutely no preparation. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with a skosh more celebrity stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. Oh, yes, you said it, Chris. The so that dinner at 10 Downing Street that Jamie Oliver, the celebrity chef, cooked.
Easy peasy.
J.K. Rowling was there with the first lady.
J.K. Rowling.
Oh, sorry. Exactly. And Naomi Campbell, which I'm not sure was that. Did she pelt anybody with a cell phone? Or probably the Queen didn't bring her iPod since, you know. That can be considered a weapon around Naomi Campbell.
We should wear a helmet in the presence
unless
of Naomi Campbell.
One of those teeny tiny iPod shuffles, you know, the ones that look like a paper
Naomi
clip
Campbell
now.
Could still do some damage with that. That would at least knock the crown off. That would Oh, is that being hit with an iPod shuffle?
Yeah.
Banana. Okay.
That's even smaller than that.
What was that?
The shuffle is smaller than
it's
the
like
nano.
It really is the size of a paperclip. It's.
I know. I have one.
No, you have a nano.
Yeah. I had the shuffle for a little while, too. The little teeny one. Okay.
But the one that just came out last week or the week before, it's
like a paperclip. But yeah, it's
smaller
like
than the shuffle you had.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, bad news for you. Lindsay Lohan has once again denied that she has split from her lesbian lovers.
Damn it.
Samantha Ronson, because we all know that Jim is next.
I have a shot.
Yeah. Clearly, Jim is next.
But Jim, Samantha Ronson is not the kind of lesbian you'd be interested in.
No, it's Lindsay Lohan.
No, Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan is. Yeah. He assumes that he's next. So, Squeezy could break up some of those fights. Girls. Don't fight. You're both pretty.
Samantha might be able to take you on.
All right. She's scrawny.
Samantha?
Exactly. Yeah, but she's no match for Squeezy.
Yeah, but she's a dude.
Oh, she is not. All right. You know, we had Mary Lou Henner in the studio yesterday, whom we love, speaking of Squeezy. And she talked about she was on the series finale of ER last night.
That's right.
And she was, and we remember she tried to BS me that she didn't know if George Clooney was in it. George Clooney was in it.
Well, no, he was on a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if he was on last night.
No, he was on the finale.
Was
from
he?
What I hear tell.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
ER cast members apparently were so excited that when he returned to the hit show that they ruined his dramatic comeback scene. One of the co-stars said, "We actually got in trouble doing that take because the director was like, 'Cut! Can you guys not be so excited when the doctor walks in the room?' So we had to redo the scene." Oh my God, it's Dr. Ross! Oh, too much?
Did he still have that Caesar cut? That was so popular in the mid-90s?
I don't know. I wonder if he still does that look when he looks down at you. Oh my God. Have we checked whether my restraining order is still in place from when I used to? You remember.
I think he moved out of that house since you
tried
to climb the fence.
Yeah, my hiking trail used to be behind his property where he used to play basketball shirtless. And so I once climbed the fence and a friend had to pull me down by the back of the pants. I just wanted to get a better look. Okay.
You're so weird.
Okay.
He might have had snipers for all you know.
Perhaps. All right. Guess what they might do a musical of?
What?
Groundhog Day, the movie.
Really?
Oh, my God. Someone call Cher. Sonny and Cher's estate will have to be notified, I guess. About 5 years ago, the famed Broadway lyricist and composer Stephen Sondheim told some folks he loved the idea of doing a stage adaption of Groundhog Day, the Bill Murray.
Adaptation.
The adaptation. So Harold Ramis stopped by the MTV offices. He revealed plans for a Groundhog musical are not just gossip, but they're actually moving forward.
Hmm.
Wow. What if he's going to do a version of that song?
He had actually a funny joke. He said that the show should have the same song that opened it, probably just one song all the way through.
Yes. Sondheim and Cher. There we go. That's a... We should tour together.
All right. 28 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the President's Overseas Trip and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got you, babe. They say our love won't pay the rent before it's earned. Our money's all been spent.
Oh,
Stephanie Miller.
You're a lusty old gal, aren't you?
Why, yes. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Julia in Madison, Wisconsin, has a George Clooney story. Hello, Julia.
Good morning. In 95, I was a resident in pediatrics at Children's Hospital Los Angeles, and Anthony Edwards' baby was very sick and got transferred to my hospital the night I was on call. And that night, there was a stream of celebrities in and out visiting the baby, and George Clooney was there with a beautiful blonde woman, and I actually had to ask him to leave.
Really?
He wasn't doing anything wrong, but there was a rule that you couldn't have more than two people at the bedside at any time, and I needed to do something for the baby.
Did you offer to invite him to your bedside instead if he needed somewhere to go?
No, that whole night, everyone, all the other residents were visiting me, and I was trying to pretend like it was, you know, oh, this is no big deal. They're just people. But I had to go up and like, tap him on the shoulder. Excuse me.
Oh, my God.
And he turned around. You know, he turned around and, you know, looked me in the eye and smiled. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I know. I met him once at the Emmys, and I did the same thing. I said, I thought about what I would say, and what I said was flirng, something like that.
Yeah, did not plan that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to look at the baby. He's like, oh, sure, fine. But, yeah, he's actually tall, unlike many people in Hollywood.
Really?
I didn't think he
was that tall. Well, anyway, here's the 1 degree of Stephanie Miller separation. I went to USC Theater School with Anthony Edwards.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
He was also tall. Anthony Edwards is
yes, he is tall. All right. Thank you, Julia.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. One of the many people that I have gone to school or work with that are far more successful than I am.
I got a question for you.
My theater career, my acting career did not go quite as far, oddly.
I got a question for you.
Yes?
What the hell were you doing at the Emmys?
Oh, that was the year of the disastrously failed Stephanie Miller late night show. And that was my setup date with Greg Brady.
Oh,
yeah.
And
that
was your show
story.
Up for an Emmy?
No. It wasn't even on the air yet. They were trying to gin up some publicity because the Brady Bunch movie was out. So they sent me to the Emmys with Greg Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, that date went almost as badly as the Stephanie Miller late night show.
So you were the setup to Greg Brady. Greg Brady was not set up. Okay.
We were set up with each other. Listen, it's a story for another time.
All right. Brady was the famous one in that relationship.
Clearly.
Okay.
Okay. He's riding on his coattails.
We need to get him on. I need to find out more about this date.
Computer says no.
No?
Okay. Angie Harmon, don't say anything you said during the commercial break, Jim.
Chris said it.
She's a Republican, you know.
Yes.
She says she defended Bristol Palin's Crystal Palin? What?
Well, I'm sure there's been some. Never mind.
Never mind.
Yeah.
She defended her pregnancy and says the Republican Party is the more understanding of the parties, Jim. She said, I think one of the greatest things about the Republican Party is the understanding.
Right.
We don't point fingers, and we have class.
Well, who's we?
Oh, my God.
See, they have the party that's never pointed fingers or preached moral values or family values to anybody else. You see what she's saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, welfare queens and Cadillacs. That was the Democrat thing.
Mm-hmm.
She looks like a dirty girl.
Chris, what did I say?
Don't say the things
you said during the commercial break. We have no information of any kind about Angie Harmon.
Okay.
She said, let's keep in mind, how old is she? 17? I don't care what anybody says. This person's still a young person. She's got a big situation on her hands. And for anyone to sit here and make fun of her, judge her, is just cruel and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Angie, because your party's a big party of
right-wing hypocrites.
That's been the problem there, see, because...
Like when,
if that were, let's see, a Democratic candidate, 17-year-old, pregnant on
Wednesday. Oh, yeah, they'd be on that, like white on rice.
Yeah, they'd be a little judgy.
I remember with Rush Limbaugh saying that the Clintons had a family dog.
Oh, and held up a picture of Chelsea Clinton when she was a child. Yes.
Yeah, Republicans have class.
Yeah. Okay.
Jim
Ward.
I'm choking.
Jim Ward. All right. Jim Louise Ward.
Mm-hmm. I'm biting my tongue over here.
All right. Speaking of...
Right-wing hypocrites!
And family value people. Bill O'Reilly. He of the unfortunate phone sex scandal.
Yes.
He's writing his next book about Barack Obama.
Mm. Who went to France, where they like him. Because he's a socialist.
Mm-hmm. He said he's becoming a historical figure not because he's black, but because his liberal agenda is taking the country in a direction we've never been before.
No, never. Unless you count the Great Depression, when Franklin Roosevelt pulled our chestnuts out of the fire. Or tried to, until the Republicans slowed it down in 1937.
Thank you, Jim. This historical fun fact brought to you by Jim Ward. Okay, speaking of the Republican Party, former House Speaker, also of family values, Newt Gingrich.
Yes.
Is warning fellow Republicans that, frankly, conservatives may leave the Republicans for a third party in 2012.
Good idea.
Yes, Newt.
Frankly.
If the Republicans can't break out of being the right-wing party of big government, then I think we'll see a third party movement in 2012. Yes,
frankly,
Newt. Go, be free.
Be free, honey. Yes, yes.
No.
He kind of looks like Elsa the Lion.
Run free, he does.
It's an insult to Lion.
Be free. Third party.
Free as the wind.
All right. Meanwhile, the wildly popular current president, Barack Obama, overseas yesterday.
In America, at least, people don't resent the rich. They want to be rich. And that's good.
But we want to make sure that there's mechanisms in place holds people accountable.
Thank you. Gordon Brown, the British Prime Minister, who...
He needs a charisma transplant.
He's got a little man crush on Barack Obama. Okay.
The old Washington consensus is over. Today, we have reached a new consensus that we take global action together to deal with the problems we face.
All right. Again, I guess the common wisdom is, Jim, we're only manly and tough and American if everyone hates us.
That's right.
Rush Limbaugh on there.
The slobbering.
Gordon Brown.
The slobbering. This guy, folks, I'm telling you, if he keeps this up throughout the G20, Gordon Brown will come down with anal poisoning and may die from it.
Oh, my.
Talking
that's classy.
About his anal cyst again?
Didn't Angie Harmon just say that Republicans are the party with class?
Class, yeah. That's,
wow.
That's classy with a K.
You know, I don't think anybody that had a giant anal cyst that they used to get out of the Army with would shouldn't really even say the word anal, ever. Do you?
No.
Unless talking about Glenn Beck.
Yes. And his botched ass surgery. Okay, Bill O'Reilly.
Talking Points believes fear is driving the president's numbers down. Some Americans believing he has not been effective on the economy so far. Others feel his policies are too socialistic, with the Congressional Budget Office estimating the USA will run up about $9 trillion in deficit over the next 10 years.
Some people say, I guess, because the president, what is it, down like a point or something? I see. It's below 70 now, so yeah, I can see where that's people are panicking. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is he down with the global justice jihad?
What?
There's no hard evidence to suggest that he is, but he has not repudiated the false vision either. Until President Obama does, speculation will rage.
What was it again?
The false? What?
The global justice jihad. Is Obama down with that? Once again, what the hell is Bill O'Reilly talking about?
He's talking about The Hague and Spain. I think it's Spain.
Yeah.
He's threatened never to go to Spain. Yeah. And they're...
Okay.
He's got terrified. A chubby for Spain.
Please do not say that word in Bill O'Reilly's name in the same sentence again, either.
I think he should go running with the Bulls in Pamplona.
Okay. All right.
That would be entertaining.
Okay, but at least O'Reilly is covering the issues that most affect Americans' lives.
The Obamas give the Queen an iPod, right? Mm-hmm. An iPod.
Yes, an iPod.
Okay, now, another thing that would have got you beheaded in Henry VIII's realm. Okay, it is what you would have been, your head would have been on a stick. I'm not taking that iPod. Now... Can you imagine Bush giving an iPod? The whole world would have blown up. Would have been MSNBC would have went around the clock with it. You know what I'm talking about?
No, actually, we
don't. I do have to say, the Obama White House needs to find a better ambassador of gifts.
Why? I think it's not the iPod. It's the music on it that's the gift. Why is that? I don't even understand why that's even a whatever. And they put the special video of her last visit. I thought it was a very nice gift.
Yeah. What do you want, a crystal gravy
boat? Just because she has an iPod? Exactly. Just because she already has one, the gift isn't... Even I'm a technological moron, and I know that. It's not the thing. It's the music that's the gift. I finally figured out how to get music in my iPod, by the way, because you showed me where my slot is. It's on the side of my Mac, as it turns out.
Slot's on the side.
On my on my desktop. I didn't know.
It sounds like a defect.
I didn't know where you put the CD, and it's on the side.
I'm just saying you can go down to, Harrods. And buy an iPod.
True.
The gift is not the iPod. It's the music on it and the video that they put on it of her
trip.
You
can go to iTunes and get all of that music. It's not that special.
Oh, like the Queen has time to do that.
She has people to do that for. One of her corgis could do it.
43 minutes. You're saying a corgi could find my slot, but I can't. Is that what you're saying?
And I'm sure they have.
What? What a bestiality.
Your pardon, 43 minutes after the hour.
I've seen how your dogs treat you.
I will be back with important things about the economy and stuff on the Stephanie Miller Show. What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's raining men. Hallelujah, it's raining men. Amen.
That is the
Stephanie. Can we find a gayer song, possibly?
You want one?
Actually, yes, we could.
Oh, yeah, I guess we could.
48 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1, do the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Oh, I get it, because of the breaking news out of Iowa this morning. Gay marriage advocates began celebrating early Friday after the Iowa Supreme Court has issued a unanimous ruling finding the state's same-sex marriage ban violates the constitutional rights
Iowa,
of gay and lesbian
places.
Couples. Exactly. It's a new day. Indeed it is. All right. Or not. Thank you. Okay. Tim in Madison, Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on anal poisoning. Hello, Tim.
Well, before I get to the anal poisoning, the whole thing in Iowa makes me rejoice.
Yep.
As one, being a gay man, but two, makes me so upset because I think of Iowa as like a bunch of backward hicks.
Uh-huh.
And here in Wisconsin, we didn't pass gay marriage.
What did you say?
Wisconsin.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no, I know. And in California, obviously.
I know. That just, it makes my head hurt that if people in Iowa can go ahead and say, you know, if the
right.
justices in Iowa say, yes, gay marriage is, you know, against the Constitution, Wisconsin's like, meh, no.
Yeah, we'll get there.
You know what, though? I have.
Because if we don't, I will be angry and I'm moving to Canada.
I have a feeling that the people of Iowa are going to pass a constitutional amendment, though.
They're
going to be upset at the Supreme Court, and they're going to pass a constitutional amendment.
Okay.
But you know what? Anal poisoning.
Yes, back to the topic at hand.
You know, I would like to know how Rush can actually say that to Gordon Brown when you have Michael Steele, the boner, all these other Republicans basically kissing Rush Limbaugh's ulcer-pustuling anal.
Yeah, if anyone has that kind of poisoning, it would be the Republicans.
If everyone
all right.
Republican Party, I don't get it. And when he was saying alien poisoning, was he talking about like a gay orgy or something? I'm not sure.
All right. Thank you, Tim. My goodness, that was just not for the kids. All right, let's go talk about the Queen again. Connie in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. I think Chris needs a break from watching the right-wing tool shows because he didn't have time to hear the actual news yesterday that the Queen requested that video iPod specifically. So the Office of Protocol did what they should have.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah.
But why can't she go down to Harrods and get one?
She asked for the video footage of her trip to America. That's what she asked for.
You can find that video on the internet. Just go to YouTube.
She's not a screaming toddler. She's the Queen. You give the Queen what she asked for.
She has a staff of millions to
Sam
do that for her.
In Providence, Rhode Island, says Chris is also a moron. Hi, Sam.
Hey, it's me, the official. I don't want to be the official anything of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
And the previous caller made my point exactly. The Queen asked for it. The Office of Protocol did exactly what they should have.
Yeah,
I'm not saying he's a moron. I'm saying perhaps he has right-wing poisoning.
Exactly.
Well,
he has Fox. You have Fox poisoning.
Mm.
Okay, Jeff in Atlanta. Speaking of Fox poison, Bill O'Reilly. Hello, Jeff.
Hey. Yeah, maybe Bill O'Reilly was once again accidentally correct because he said that if he'd have given that an iPod, if the American president had given an iPod to Henry VIII, he would have been beheaded, which he's probably right for two reasons. Number one, that would have been 60 years before the first English colony, so that probably would have scared him.
It would have been witchcraft.
It would have been witchcraft since there were no iPods.
You know,
yeah,
with his fancy device.
Yes, exactly.
Witchcraft.
All right.
That is exactly. Witchcraft. Burned at the stake.
Joanna in Chicago agrees with Chris for some odd reason. Hello, Joanna.
Oh, I do, actually. You know, usually these kind of gifts have some kind of historical value.
Yeah.
I have to admit, though, I didn't know that she asked for one. But the iPod, it would have been great if she asked for it, but something else. The DVD is the last time that wouldn't work.
Well, she did also get something else. She got the songbook? I can't remember. It was something rare.
And the Hammerstein songbook.
Yes.
A rare book is fine. An iPod?
Yeah.
Like a picture of yourself is better.
Not real classy. She needs a new buyer.
Yeah.
They need a new office.
All right. Dana and Orange. It's a cool gift. Dana in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Queen.
Hi, Chris. You got to really get over it because she requested it. They gave it to her. You got to love that.
Exactly.
Yeah, but why couldn't she just go down to Harrods and get it herself?
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have the footage on it. That's so obvious.
You
know what,
there.
Dana? Thank God Chris doesn't have kids, because they'd be like, Daddy, I want an iPod. No, you get coal.
No, you're getting the gravy boat.
You get carrots. All right, Bill.
I wouldn't give my kids a gravy boat.
Yes, you would.
No, I would not.
Bill in New Jersey. You'll take a Hummel figurine and you'll like it.
Sorry, guys, but Chris is absolutely right. Did the other guy ask for the 25 DVDs?
Who, Gordon Brown? Yeah, he loves movies.
Yeah, but at least we could give him DVDs that worked in his country.
Listen, nothing works over there. I traveled overseas, and I bought 17 different plugs and adapters, and none of them worked for... Okay, let's go to, they trick you with all that stuff anyway. It's impossible to figure out.
You know what, though? You could have called down to the front desk of your hotel and gotten an adapter.
Damn it, now you tell me. Steve in Orange County on the Queen.
Hey, how are you? You know what Obama should have presented to the Queen is with the Steph cast.
There you go.
That would have been special.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, she can listen to all the Queen bits. Yeah,
she can listen to what a skank biscuit she is. Yeah. On the Steph cast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. She could get it. Now she has an iPod, so she can get that.
Well, she had an iPod before.
Let's send her one. I dare you to send her a free Steph cast. Come on.
But I can't do the Queen bits anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, well, sure you can.
She may chortle heartily at your Queen bits.
She felt up Michelle Obama. I mean, what's to say she...
I copped a feel off Michelle Obama. I couldn't be more amused by Jim Ward. All right, Scott in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Chris, I really had it with your bad attitude about iPhones.
What? Well, why? What'd I say?
You gotta see this. We are reasonable people.
Sure.
And that is why we did this, and we are not gonna pass a constitutional amendment. They've talked about it before. They're all blowing smoke.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you such a grumpy gust this morning, Chris? Why are you raining on all our parades?
I'm a realist.
All right.
I mean, come on.
You don't know that.
If California gets a constitutional amendment passed, I'm sure one is gonna pass in Iowa.
Somebody's been sipping my Carnation Instant, bitch.
Well, I'm just being a realist here, Stephanie.
All right. I choose to think positively.
Well, that's sometimes your problem.
Uh-oh. There's going to be trouble on What the Fox tonight. The Dow has jumped above 8,000 for the first time in 2 months.
Damn it!
What happened to the Obama recession? What? Enthusiastic buyers are buying up stocks again, setting the Dow above 8,000 for the first time in nearly 2 months. All the major indexes are soaring more than 3.5% as investors grow more optimistic that the economy is on the mend. What the fox? New signs emerge the recession may be the near bottom, is the next AP story. Mm-hmm. New signs the recession could be nearing bottom emerged Thursday as factory orders were far better than expected and the Dow surged over 8,000. Traditionally, the labor market doesn't pick up till well after a recovery has started, so because the unemployment report out Friday today will probably be dismal, but they're saying that always follows the...
Clearly, the bounce in the stock market is because of George Bush's leadership. There was just a lag period.
Exactly.
Right.
Dana Perino actually did say that whatever she said, the upturn, that will be because of George Bush.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What?
Andy in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Queen.
Hi.
Hello,
I'm
Andy.
Andy? Yes?
Andy?
Stop it.
Go ahead.
Queen, I wanted to compare the iPod to maybe a mixtape that you make your girlfriend in high school.
You don't give the Queen a mixtape.
Yes, you do.
It was Broadway show tunes. If it was slow jams, it'd be inappropriate, but it doesn't matter what it is.
You know what? I would give her jock jams if it were me, because I love working out to that.
Y'all ready for this?
Y'all ready for this? David in Long Beach on the Iowa gay marriage ruling. Hello, David.
Hello there. I was just calling in response to your caller from Wisconsin who called Iowans a bunch of backwards hicks. If I recall correctly, back in the 80s, Iowa also passed a law allowing women to go topless. Because it was discriminatory.
Ooh, yeah, there's some freaks in Iowa. Good job. Good job, Iowa. All right. 57 minutes after the hour. What are we doing? Tinsel
stand-up news.
Stand-up news.
And we got Mike Farrell this hour.
Actor, activist Mike Farrell, and the latest on the budget that just passed yesterday as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
A It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. Uh-oh. Von Seal in Asheville has blown our cover. Chris, bring the show to a screeching halt, please. Von Seal in Asheville, North Carolina.
Hey.
Hi.
I want you to know it is now painfully, and I mean excruciatingly painfully, obvious that something is going on between Stephanie and Chris.
Oh.
No.
I'm old enough to know a thing or two, about a thing or two. I am all the way across the country from you, and I can feel the heat in my front yard.
Let me just tell you something. Chris and I have proved the fact that you do not have to each other to hate each other with the heat of a thousand white hot suns. Trust me, you do have to get up with each other at this at insane o'clock every morning for many, many years, and that serves its purpose. Oh, you know what I'm saying.
I am not one of your fans!
You told me not to snap at you this morning because you've had a week.
Screw you. Carol in Seattle. Carol in Seattle. What an idiot Chris is. Hello, Carol.
Hello, Stephanie.
Yes.
I love Chris, but I have to say his argument that she could go to that the Queen could go to Harrods to buy an iPod is bogus because
Harrods doesn't sell iPods.
Queen, and she could buy anything she wants in the whole wide world.
That's right.
There's nothing you can give her that she couldn't buy for herself.
Exactly. What do you buy the Queen?
I'm just saying.
You buy her the iPod she asked for.
I'm just saying. You can go down to the corner and buy an iPod. You can even buy them at Rite Aid anymore. But you can't go down to the corner and get a signed book by Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Don't speak.
That was the good part of the gift.
Silence.
www.zip.com. Okay, on the Stephanie... Oh, Mike Farrell coming up on the Celebrity Hotline this hour.
That's right.
The StephanieMiller.com is the website. Is the Mama on the Larry King Live up there yet?
I believe George put it up there, yes.
All right, Mama on the Larry King Live last night. I was on with Penn Jillette.
Bush didn't say the opposite. I mean, it's not... that's not a very profound thing to just say that you're going to listen. I mean, yes, people like him more. He's better looking. He's a better speaker. And I guess that's okay. But the whole country rallying behind somebody is always a bad idea.
Listen, Penn, the only people that are in bad shape after George Bush is gone are people in the effigy business, because he was burned in effigy more times when he went on overseas trip.
But you can't pretend I'm pushing for Bush. I'm not. I'm just saying the president shouldn't have all this power.
Whatever.
Was it Terry Holt? Is that the guy?
Terry Holt, that's it. He wants to come on the radio show and be abused after I abused him on television last night.
Are you sure?
Yeah, why not? All right.
Rebecca, you're on that.
I told him, I said our Republican friend, and I meant that in a very shallow television kind of way when I referred to him. All right. Mama, also, the media horror tour continues. I'll be on CNN's Reliable Sources Sunday morning with Howard Kurtz. Wow. At 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
You're going to get up early on Sunday.
Oh, I have to pick you off the heating grate again.
Okay, anyway.
You'll say, why did I agree to do this? Oh, God.
Speaking of Mama on the TV, ever since it's announced that Ed Schultz, our buddy, our pal, has gotten his own show on MSNBC, apparently the Internet's on fire with the rumors of the Mama replacing Morning Joe on what? I don't know where that comes from. Replacing the Morning Joe show.
You don't know where that comes from. Come on.
It was on the threads on the Huffington Post or wherever the kids are twittering or tweeting or wherever they're doing. Margaret in Madison writes, well, if it's Cup of Joe now, if you replaced it, wouldn't it be the A Cups of Steph?
Yes.
Hey. Funny from Margaret.
Alrighty. And you were offended at that this morning because you said you're a B cup.
I am a B.
And I said, like hell.
I am a B.
Like hell you are.
I'm wearing a sports bra. They're strapping them down right now.
Is that your excuse?
All right. As we all know, executive producer Chris LaVoie is obsessed with his new iPhone.
Yes.
This does not surprise me. iPhones have become toddlers' favorite toys.
Do I have a toddler?
No, but
Daddy, I just launched a nuclear strike.
No, but you're whiny. Jennifer Lee recently found her 3-year-old daughter, Hannah, locked in the bathroom playing with her favorite toy, her mother's Apple iPhone. She will not give us the iPhone back, said the St. Cloud mom. She loves playing with the apps. She even downloads the apps herself and buys them. She's 3 years old, and she's a little iPhone addict.
I won't talk about the times I was locked in the bathroom playing with my favorite toy. That's a whole different
Jim,
story.
Than
I
what kind
have.
Of toy
they didn't
did
have,
you...
iPhones when I was a kid.
It's just like the new Republican budget. Shiny colors, large buttons, and easy interactivity have made the iPhone favorite toys for extremely young children, according to technology experts.
That's scary.
I don't even know where my slot is, and this kid knows how to download apps, and she's three, for God's sakes. My slot is on the side, by the way, on my Apple desktop. I just found out.
Yes, should see a guy know about that.
Thank you, Jim. Anyway, did you hear? It was April Fool's this week. You know, guess who fell for a April Fool's joke?
Who?
Noted equine hermaphrodite Ann Holter.
Junk-toting stick figure.
She fell for a fake April Fool's Day article in Car and Driver that claimed President Obama had ordered GM and Chrysler to cease their participation in NASCAR because it was an unnecessary expenditure. Coulter wrote, if Obama can tell GM and Chrysler that their participation in NASCAR is an unnecessary expenditure, isn't having public schools force students to follow Muslim rituals, recite Islamic prayers, and plan jihads also an unnecessary expenditure?
What an idiot.
And
you are an idiot!
And in addition... Yeah.
Something out from underneath her skirt.
Yikes! Yikes!
Colder!
Oh, gee, what is that? All right, someone has sent us six examples of workplace rudeness.
Oh.
You know what, can I just say that our entire show is based on all of these?
Yeah, I know.
But these are things you should not do, apparently, in your workplace. Number one, interruptions are offensive on many levels, aren't they, Jim? Interruptions are offensive.
What I was going to say was...
This entire show consists of us interrupting each other, me interrupting callers. When you interrupt someone, you suggest that your time and ideas are more important than everyone else's. Well
computer says, yeah.
That's the point of this show. And that you have no
interest...
And that you have no interest in... Never mind. Okay, people are not saying please and thank you anymore in the workplace, apparently. I usually say, please go... yourself.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Could you please shut the hell up?
Could you please fix me a turkey pot pie?
All right. Table manners. Oh, this is, you know, Jim, you deal with the kitchen here when you heat up your God knows what you're heating up in there. Do you see those signs? Maids don't work here. Please clean up after yourself.
Those are the kinds of things that you see at passiveaggressivenotes.com.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Many
people don't leave them.
Yeah.
And the people that burn the microwave popcorn and the
whatever.
You know,
or burn potatoes in their microwave
because
they forgot to take the tinfoil off.
Mama once tried to cook a potato here in the microwave, and I put tinfoil on it.
Caused a thunderstorm in the microwave.
Yeah. Roots.
Yeah.
Okay. Number four. That's just rude. I guess swearing is frowned upon in the workplace.
Yeah, bleep that.
Yeah, exactly. That. This is like a loading dock around here, for God's sakes. Talking too loud, either on a speakerphone or on your on your cell phone. Huh? Yes, that's a...
Computer says, yeah.
Hate that. I always get stuck on the plane with somebody before right up to the second of takeoff or right at the minute of landing that is like screaming into their cell phone next to me.
I'm not arguing about that. What movie is that from? Joe versus the Volcano.
Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. You're the one who saw that.
Yes.
Also, when you're walking down the hall, you're supposed to give a coworker a smile, a nod, or some other greeting.
Well, we have that tradition here. It's not a verbal greeting, necessarily, though.
No. I'm bad with names, as you know. There's people that I've worked here with
years.
I have
to say
hi. I know. That's what I... Hey, how are you?
That's all you got to say.
Yeah.
You don't have to say their name.
Good, because I don't know anybody's name. Oh, the guy from the place on the floor upstairs.
Hey, okay. You're all that right. Guy
hey,
from that
you're
time
the
back at the thing.
With the... Okay. All right, let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person... Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story, Obama's style is anti-Bush in Europe. President Obama said Wednesday he was not in London to lecture, but to listen. Huh? What? And his busy schedule surrounding the Group of 20 summit of world leaders offered a glimpse into the new president's diplomatic style and goals. His style a stark change from his predecessor, George W. Bush. He actually said, I came here to put forward our ideas, but I also came here to listen. And not to lecture, we have the rest of the president's thoughts.
I have staked out my position as president, but I will not be following in the footsteps of my predecessor when it comes to diplomacy. There will certainly be whatever ass-kicking is needed, but with glove leather loafers instead of ostrich-skin cowboy boots. I'm quite secure about the size of my package, so therefore the United States will be much more circumspect in how it projects its power throughout the world. I won't be asking any of my fellow heads of state at the dining table if they're going to eat that. Just isn't my snack. Turns out there's been a deep hunger for just plain diplomatic folks around the world, as I'm finding out to my chagrin. I should have figured out something was up when Chancellor Merkel not only insisted that I give her a neck rub, but before you could say knackwurst, she had shimmied out of her formal gown and was looking at me like she was a squirrel and I was a sack of nuts. It didn't stop there. Next thing I knew, Sarkozy was offering me a session with Carla Bruni, hoping that I can be escoffier in bed and stir the pot until it's done. Whatever that means. Even Gordon Brown can't keep his ham-like hands to himself when we meet. He's telling me all about his haggis. TMI.
Yeah.
But the big surprise was Jóhanna Sigurðardóttir, Iceland's lesbian prime minister.
Uh-oh.
I knew Iceland was volcanic, but what a fumarole. You know, looking around, I see that the Queen and Michelle are thick as thieves. Hey, does the Queen ever hand up Michelle's skirt? We'll have to have a summit about that, I suspect. In the meantime, it's Iceland, Iceland, über alles. At least until something erupts. Hey, Bobby Jindal, monitor this. This American, at least, can do anything. Yes, I can.
Yes, you can. And finally, fast food giant McDonald's is demanding that a Swedish strip club get rid of a sign that the hamburger chain claims comes too close to its golden arches.
Hmm.
The sign for McDragon's Drive in Sweden is a large M with nipples that apparently resembles golden arches.
McNipples.
Mm-hmm. The strip bar's owner, Dragon Breckpick, said the sign has nothing to do with McDonald's. It's two breasts with nipples. Anyone can see that. We have the Swedish spokesman.
Yim, pinyim, minyim, we're going to sue your ass for this, you betcha. You can't use the golden arches to sell your smutty little strip club, McDragons, please, it's so obvious. Are you kidding me? Dragon is my name, Dragon Bratic. And I am not Irish, as you can tell by my ridiculous accent. I am Yugoslav. The MC stands for motorcycle.
Yeah.
I am liking motorcycles. It's not breach of trademark. Look, you, just because you put nipples on the arches doesn't mean you can get away with that. And what's with the clown outfit? It says Ronald McDragon right there on the lapel button. Who do you think you're kidding? I'm liking clowns and motorcycles and naked women. So sue me. We will sue you, you're sure, you betcha. Just look at the names of some of your dancers. Agneta, filet of fish. Big and tasty Anna Fried. With cheese? Some of my customers are kinky. Some are liking strippers covered in tartar sauce or dairy products. And this similarity is completely coincidental. Oh, yeah? Christina McGriddle? Explain that one. You explain McGriddle. Bacon, sausage, egg, and cheese on pancake? What is this? You got me there. I guess you deserve a break today. I am loving it. Just for that, you get free lap dance. With cheese. Hey, there, ho, there, yeah, sure, you betcha.
That's all for Stand Up News. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Falderall.
Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True. There's a banner ad for it on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
Boy, howdy. 20 minutes after the hour. Back on the with more on the president's budget that just passed yesterday and much more. Mike Farrell live on the Celebrity Hotline. Yay. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. TJ in San Francisco on the Iowa ruling today that said same-sex marriage ban is unconstitutional. Hi, TJ.
Hi, Steph. Greetings again from the official Chinese-American Jewish bisexual sadistic dominant ex-porn star of the SM show.
Wow, wow.
Oh, my. We had a lot of applications for that.
No. I'm the last one you had.
Okay.
I think. Listen, Chris. According to Iowa law, mm-hmm. A constitutional amendment has to be passed by two consecutive legislatures and then put up for a vote. So the earliest a constitutional amendment can even be looked at by the voters is 2012.
Okay.
And the funny thing about that is, if it is looked at in 2012, it's going to make the Iowa primary really interesting.
Yeah.
And I bet Chuck Grassley will say 75,000 more ridiculous things by then.
How much
It'll
does it...
Be a lot.
About giant lesbians.
Yeah. How much does it have to pass by? Is it 50-50 or is it like, you know, two-thirds majority?
It has to pass it 50% plus one.
Okay.
And I believe it's the same for the voters if an Iowa legislature gets into that. But the thing is, by that time, there'll be so many married couples and the state won't have blown up.
Yeah, exactly.
Gonna, you know.
Exactly. Let's
happen.
Hope so. Let's hope so. All right, honey. Let's go to Will in Santa Cruz on toddlers' iPhones fixations.
Good morning, Seth.
My toddler, Chris, is obsessed with his iPhone.
Yes, yes. Well, I can't say I blame him. It's been a great tool of distraction. I have a 20-month-old, and she sees me using it fairly often, of course, to communicate. And now she realizes that pushing little colorful keys on top of the little pad will get her all kinds of little results. And she loves the lightsaber application. So.
I've heard the parents are using it as a tool to buy time to eat or do whatever it is they need to do.
Whatever gives me some more sanity during the day, I'll apply for it.
Yeah, well, in case your toddler, I don't know, calls 911 75 times and gets you arrested, you can get a fake one, apparently, for kids. You can get an iPhone that doesn't, it's not really, it looks like one.
That's a good, I'll look that up, but actually she called an ex-girlfriend once, and that got pretty interesting.
She called your ex-girlfriend?
An ex-girlfriend.
Oh, dear. Oh,
so,
dear.
Together, it's got to be very interesting.
Oh, boy. You know, friends don't let their toddler drunk dial exes in the middle of the night, but thank you, Will. Wow, that must have been awkward.
I've called a couple of people accidentally before I learned to turn the phone off after every phone call. Seriously, it's easy to do. I think I've called you once, and you probably heard some inappropriate conversation on the message I left you.
Is there any other kind? All right. So yesterday, the House of Representatives passed a federal budget that embraces Barack Obama's initiatives on health care, energy, and education, but leaves the government in debt, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate expected to follow late Thursday, passing its own budget plan. The House voted 233 to 196 to pass the Democrats, which absolutely no Republican support whatsoever. By the way, they voted down Grampy's little budget.
They
voted down a challenge by Senator John McCain to the budget. House Democratic leader Steny Hoyer, whom we know, said Democrats know those policies are the wrong way to go, the Republican budget he's talking about. Our budget lays the groundwork for a sustained, shared, and job-creating recovery. The boner? Oh, the boner. We'll be back with what he said and much more. And Mike Farrell on the Celebrity Hotline as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Nice girl, but about as sharp as a sack of wet mice.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Don't forget Mama on CNN this Sunday morning, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern on CNN's reliable sources. Eric in Ohio, by the way, about Mama and Larry King last night.
Yes.
Hi, Steph. Watched you on Larry King, and I was really disappointed. I was hoping that Penn Jillette would saw you in half or pull a rabbit out of your blouse, but it was not to be.
Penn Jillette is not the kind of magician that
no.
pulls rabbits out of things.
Mm.
He kills rabbits.
Mm. All right. Ooh.
Well, I mean, you
all
know.
Right. Well. Speaking of wildly popular things from television, what? Oh, who is it, Chris?
Actor, author, activist Mike Farrell.
We know him.
Yes, we do.
Good morning, Mike Farrell.
Good morning, Steph. How are you?
I'm good, honey. How have you been?
Hey, you know, doing okay.
I've been paging through a fabulously entertaining book entitled Of Mule and Man.
Have you really?
Lee.
Yes, I have.
Thank you.
What? Now, it's about your American road trip. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I wrote this other book, and the publisher, the small publishing company, didn't have the money to fly me around the country, so they asked if I'd be willing to drive. And I said, I love to drive. So they rented me a little hybrid, and off I went. So it's really travels with Charlie, only instead of Charlie, it's the mule.
Yes.
the mule being the hybrid I was driving.
And yes.
With whom I fell in love, I must tell you.
Well, listen.
It was a bumpy road.
I'm not one to come between a man and his mule, so that's fine.
It was a bumpy process, but it ended up being a lot of fun.
But there's talk in there about how you had to listen to conservative talk radio nonstop across the country.
It is really frightening when you get out in the middle of this place to see that.
Tell me about it.
So little is available to whet the appetite of your intelligence. It's really about being the great American, as Sean would have you believe, or this bombast from this guy Rush. I'm just, it's astonishing that people have to listen to this stuff, and it's no wonder there's so many frightened and weirded out people out there.
Exactly. And not to be self-serving and bring this right back to
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, Jim, but that is what I, Ed Schultz and I testified to Democratic senators about the fairness doctrine back about a year ago or so, because of that very thing that there is no balance in talk radio. And you're right. I mean, that is the only ideology. It's on 90% of the stations in the country.
Yep.
So
and it's putting out really ugly, nasty, mean-spirited, and wrong-headed stuff.
Yeah, I was on a panel on the Fairness Doctrine with a bunch of these right-wing, Congress people and radio hosts. And, of course, their thing is that liberal radio has failed. And, unfortunately, I brought along a page of ratings showing that I and many of the other progressive hosts are beating many of the right-wing hosts in many, many major cities.
Sure.
And yet we're still on 10% of the amount of stations they're on. So I thank you for drawing attention to that.
Absolutely. Is there hope that the Fairness Doctrine will come back?
I don't think the Fairness Doctrine, but, who knows? Maybe the discussion will lead to, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, I know, fairness. Fairness from radio companies. all right. So, Mike, the other thing that's been in the news, you've talked a lot about about Gitmo.
Yeah.
So talk about that. You want to talk about Barack Obama's Gitmo ruling.
Barack Obama's Gitmo ruling?
I'm sorry, not the, I mean just the ruling,
the court's ruling.
Yes, exactly.
Just recently saying that they had the right to appeal their cases in American courts. I think that's a step in the right direction. You know, the courts have been so it seems to me they have been so intimidated by the Bush administration that this new opening that Barack Obama's policies provide really makes for us to reestablish what this country's all about, and one of them is fairness, as we've been talking about, and the other is equal justice under law. I mean, these are people, believe it or not, and most of them innocent and not having anything to do with terrorism at all, as has been demonstrated.
Right. A second administration official besides Colin Powell's aide has talked about that now, that many of the people there are innocent, that, you know, were swept up in these, raids or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they were turned over by people who didn't like them. They were turned over by people who wanted their businesses. I mean, it's the same as I saw in Rwanda years ago, that people who had a particularly personal grudge took advantage of a terrible political situation and used it to their own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You could earn $5,000 for turning somebody in who had ties to terrorism. So all you had to do was point a finger and say, Joe has ties to terrorism, and you got your money, and he was put away into blindfolds and shackles and hideous conditions for years.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, as we've said many times, it's not that anybody is disputing there are bad guys at Gitmo and that we need to prosecute terrorism. But, you know, how can we as the United States of America in our name know that we're holding innocent people without charges for years?
Yeah, well, don't start me on that. That's happening in our own country, in our own prisons. But how do we tolerate it is the question. And the more people understand about the reality of it, the more people understand about the ugly brutality of the and unnecessary aspects of all of this, stupidity. I mean, the notion, frankly, of a war on terrorism is like a war on right face. You know, it's it's a war on a tactic, and you have to get to the root of what the problem is that has created this rage in people's minds and eyes and hearts that they want to do something that's so ugly.
But. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, Mike, I was going to say, I don't know if you saw, you know, Andrew Sullivan, who at least used to be a Republican, I don't know if you saw his piece in The Atlantic on this unprecedented, you know, speaking out of Dick Cheney and the things he's been saying in the media. He says that Cheney is seriously fearing being held to account on torture, and that's why he's furiously trying to rewrite this.
No, I think that's quite right.
I mean, I don't think we've ever seen this, where, you know, a vice president this quickly is, you know, basically saying we're less safe, terrorists are going to kill us now because of Barack Obama, and I mean, it really is.
Yeah, no, all that stuff. I mean, of course it's never happened. There's been a tradition in the history of the country over years that the people going out of office don't speak ill of the people in office, at least give them some time to establish themselves. And Cheney, as you say, came out swinging right away, and it's all defensive. It's all to say what we did was to protect you against evildoers, and these folks are going to make you the victims of the awful stuff in the world. And in fact, all he's doing really is trying to make a brief for his own innocence. When what we know is that he assaulted the Constitution personally.
And right. Well, that's. I mean, I have to say, this will hearten people that believe in the rule of law. This article in the Atlantic, because he's saying that I really and truly, legally, he thinks there is going to be grounds because torture is a war crime.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
And if it can, you know, definitively be proved, he's saying that's why Cheney is you know, so furiously speaking out.
Yeah, I was disappointed to hear. Do you know any more about it? That Pat Leahy has backed away from this idea of a truth commission.
I have not heard that.
Somebody, I read something just recently where he said in a meeting with some people that that he can't get enough support to make it happen. I really hope that's not true, because we need an official examination, even if it's, I believe we need a prosecutor, a special prosecutor, but short of that, we need an official examination of the facts. I just saw that some more Holder may be releasing some more documents from the Bush administration.
Right, that's what I think Andrew Sullivan's talking about, that those are going to be the most damning yet.
Yeah, and that will at least open up people's eyes to the reality of what has happened to this country under the leadership, if you can call it that, of these, can I say, the bastards?
Hey, you just did.
You know what? We'll fix that in post. Mike, speaking of repairing America's image in the world, what are your thoughts on the president's overseas trip? It is startling to see a president and his wife cheer like rock stars like that, isn't it?
It is so great. You know, America hasn't been so thrilling to the people of the rest of the world for so many years. We've forgotten what it was like when the Kennedys went abroad.
I was just going to say, he's clearly the man that accompanied Michelle Obama to Europe.
Absolutely. I keep grinning when I see these photographs and hearing these stories, because it's such a fabulous thing to have this family once again representing us in the most positive and most hopeful way.
Jim and I were just looking online at some pictures, and that's absolutely, you don't even have to watch the coverage. You just look at the pictures.
Right.
Look at the pictures and look at the faces of the people in the pictures.
And you know, what he did recently with Sarkozy and Hu Jintao to resolve that glitch.
Right.
That I mean,
that's amazing.
The man is—he's a thinker. He's rational.
Speaks in full sentences. Chews with his mouth closed. Does not give inappropriate back rubs.
Indeed, yes. They said in the paper something about the use of a word, and I thought, well, that's been the problem. That other guy didn't know how to use words.
You know, although may I say that it's nice that this time it's a foreign leader, in this case the Queen, that gave an inappropriate butt rub, it looked like, to Michelle Obama, but at least it's not our side making the faux pas. Now, Mike, the book is Of Mule and Man, out in paperback, right?
Out in paperback.
Yeah. All right.
And it's been a terrific hoot to get the reaction I've been getting to it, and I really appreciate your interest in it.
I appreciate you coming on with us. Thank you, Mike Farrell.
My great pleasure.
All right.
Good
there
evening,
he goes.
Mike
Farrell. There's been a helicopter theme on the Celebrity Hotline this week. We had Rita Cosby on, as usually. Yo, with him.
Oh, don't do that.
And, of course, the MASH helicopter.
Ah.
23 minutes after the hour. Back with the latest budget news as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That laughter sounds like the result of misbehavior.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Thank God it's Friday, Friday, Friday,
Friday. Ha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, so the House passed the president's budget yesterday. The boner said it's a roadmap to disaster.
Mm-hmm. We're on the highway to hell.
The boner yesterday.
We have another bill coming through here, two bills, that seek to try to put the federal government in charge of deciding what salaries of employees ought to be. This is just out of control. And somebody's got to just say, enough is enough.
Oh. He did a little
podium. It's the top of our list. Enough is enough.
Oh. So you always wonder which sign of a toddler tantrum you're going to find. He will either cry. He will throw something on the floor, or bang on the podium. Good boy. I got to hear that again.
Okay. We have another bill coming through here, two bills, that seek to try to
hold it together,
put the federal government in charge of deciding what salaries of employees ought to be.
Not going to cry.
This is just out of control. And somebody's got to just say, enough is enough.
Oh.
Impulse control, anybody? Jim, I think you're right. I think because he's heard us mocking him on our show, he was like, the thought bubbles, just don't cry. Don't cry.
Don't cry when I hit something. Ow.
Let's review his last two tantrums. You have him, I don't know, either crying or throwing something down.
What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope, we don't have time to do that.
I think the top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people.
What is wrong with him?
I don't know. I think he has the DTs from Scotch or something.
Boner. I mean, seriously. All right.
And now it's time for another episode of America's favorite wacky sitcom, What a Boner.
Normally I'm able to hold it together. Just be calm and rational, but sometimes I just get so emotional. I can't stand it. Oh, God.
That one came out of nowhere. Like, he seemed like he was holding it together. Like, yeah. He was being really calm, and then he just lost it at the end.
You know what? I think
you're going to have to put that in your box by itself.
Oh,
just
boy.
The enough is enough.
Okay.
And the pounding.
Okay.
Let's do a little montage with that and a little bit of blubbering and throwing the thing down. Little toddler tantrum.
I'll do that over the weekend.
Toddler tantrum montage, please.
Okay. Right away, Ms. Miller. I think there was some theatrics going on there, though.
What? With the boner?
Yes, because, you know, he sounded all calm and rat, and then he realized, I'm supposed to be angry. Okay.
I'm on TV.
Bam, bam.
Yeah.
So.
He's Bam Bam. He's the Bam Bam of the House of Representatives. Bam, bam.
It's the House Dinner Theater.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, that is bad dinner theater.
Yeah.
Oh.
Representative Paul Ryan, he's the Republican who came up with the pretty shiny 50-page Republican budget with the graphics. And he forgot to put the numbers in it.
That gives Congress the vehicle, the legislative vehicle, to sweep this agenda through. And so if, you know, with this budget intact, what that means is they are now putting on a fast track their national cap and trade, which is a national energy tax legislation, their national health care, which is nationalizing our health care system, the largest tax increase in American history. Those things now are being greased through, and this agenda, for all practical purposes, could become law by fall.
Oh, no! We might have health care? That would be... Okay, by the way, speaking of tantrums, is it me or is John McCain just having one bitter tantrum, bitter, grumpy little tantrum after another?
Yeah.
An advisor to Barack Obama said that McCain is damaging efforts to revive campaign financing with his, you know, his bitterness.
Sure.
His bitter old madness.
I guess he was, John McCain said recently the issue of campaign finance is dead. The comment, according to Obama's personal lawyer, said was not helpful to the cause of public financing reform. McCain's assessment is both wrong and driven by sour grapes, he said. Which I think is probably true. I mean, I think that was Barack Obama's point. Look, I'm not playing by this system that we always lose by until we actually fix it, right? All right. Chuck Grassley says the darndest things. It's a new sitcom coming soon on ABC. Chuck Grassley. You know, I'm guessing he's going to have some thoughts about, what did he call them? Giant lesbians overtaking?
Marauding. Giant marauding lesbians.
They should call it The Grassley is Always Greener.
That, I like that one.
That darn Grassley.
That darn Grassley. He's the Marmaduke of the Senate. First, he said that AIG executives should think about suicide. Then he accused the company of sucking the of the taxpayer.
Only he didn't say teat.
No, he did not. He said. then he... did you hear this one? He tossed off a double entendre that suggested he had had a high time with another senator's wife.
Yeah, I did hear this.
Yeah, that was
weird. That was weird. He was having a back and forth with a budget committee chairman, Kent Conrad.
Mm-hmm.
And Conrad said, "Oh, you are good." Grassley snapped back, "Your wife said the same thing." Oh, my. To the penalty box for you.
That doesn't seem appropriate for Senate decorum.
No. Wow.
Republicans are freaks.
Just saying.
That's my theory.
All right. By the by, let's do an update on future Senator Al Franken and former Senator Norm Coleman. So here's the deal. The legal fight between Franken and Coleman is headed to the desk of Governor Tim Pawlenty, who is a Republican.
Right.
Franken, of course, won big this week when the three-judge panel allowed the review of no more than 400 absentee ballots. Coleman's camp said an appeal to the Minnesota Supreme Court is coming, and once that's done, the dispute lands on Pawlenty's desk. If Franken is ahead at that point, Pawlenty will have a choice: sign the election certificate that will allow Franken to be seated, or play to the Republicans, whose support he'll need in 2012 for president, by withholding the certificate while Coleman challenges the election until the end of time.
Yeah.
The Republican Party, said one analyst, nationally and in Minnesota, is playing not just with fire but with dynamite. If Pawlenty and the Republicans push it further, he said, this thing is going to blow up in their face. One would hope.
Yeah.
All
right. The people of Minnesota have gotten me getting so tired of that.
Yeah, one would think.
Yeah.
Okay. Barack Obama talking about Afghanistan. Yes.
When it comes to our Afghanistan policy, you know, the question is going to be, have we made ourselves safer? Have we reduced the risks and incidents of terrorism? And so, you know, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. But hopefully, I think at least we've set a tone internationally where people don't, where they give us the benefit of the doubt. They're still going to have their interests and we're going to have ours. There are going to be tough negotiations. Sometimes we're going to have to walk away from those negotiations if we can't arrive at a common accord.
Finally, somebody got that phrase right. The proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Thank you.
That's the actual...
Then he said something crazy and communistical about, I don't know, working with other countries around the world or something like that. And then
we exercise our leadership
best
when we are listening.
What?
When we recognize that the world is a complicated place and that... we are going to have to act in partnership with other countries. When we lead by example, when we show some element of humility and recognize that we may not always have the best answer.
Wow,
what,
Jim.
A socialist Muslim terrorist.
You were saying yesterday the theme of right-wing radio was listening is gay.
Yeah.
I'm guessing humility? Even gayer.
Humility?
Oh, my God.
We don't do humility!
Screw you!
Screw everybody!
All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, crystal boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Baker on phones and drums. Don't forget Mama on CNN this Sunday morning.
And Tommy Smothers here on the show on Monday.
Oh, and we might have a Cagney and Lacey reunion.
Oh, my God.
See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.